Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo, and we had a guest scheduled today, Brian Houghton, for History's Mysteries. But Brian is on a flight to Greece, so he is not able to be with us. And I called a lady that I met in Las Vegas when I had a business trip there a couple of months ago, and her name is Anne Parenti. And Anne has been so gracious, and she's with us today, and we're going to be talking with her about a book that she participated in called Life Choices, and also how she has been able to make a life that has enabled her to reach back into something that she had a passion about so many years ago, and actually experiencing it and living it today. Anne Parenti, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
I want to thank you for being available on such short notice that you have been able to give some time in your busy, busy schedule. You're a lady that professionally is very active on so many levels, and people are your business, and you own Parenti and Associates. You have owned Parenti Associates, which was a manufacturer representative firm, but you've got so much going on in your life. And let's talk about this book, Life Choices. Now, the subtitle on it is Putting the Pieces Together. You and a bunch of other women have chosen to put your stories out there. How did this come about, and what motivated you to do it?
And a few gentlemen, I might add.
And a few gentlemen, yes.
We had to have some male energy going on in there in that book, too. Actually, I was at one of Judy Morio's, who is the publisher of this book, at a lecture she did earlier in the year about how to get paid for speaking publicly. And she mentioned subtly that she was putting this book together, and she said, if you ever had a story about picking up the pieces, I go, well, I could write a few chapters in that book probably, but I thought of this story that happened how I ended up in Las Vegas, and I put it together. It took me about 45 minutes to throw the story together. In my wildest dreams, I never thought they'd accept this story, but I thought it's worth trying for, and lo and behold, they accepted my story, and that's how it all began. And prior to that, the first anthology that was out the year earlier, some dear friends of mine was in that book, and I had been in the book release the year before, almost to the exact day of encouraging my friends that were in the first book. So I had no clue I was going to even be an author or be even in the second book. So it all came by just fate, I guess.
Oh my goodness! Well, you obviously were ready. Now you then the front of the book. There's a very nice quote by Deepak Chopra. It says, there are no extra pieces in the universe. Everyone is here because he or she has a place to fill, and every piece must fit itself into the big jigsaw puzzle. Today we have an environment of so much worry, so much concern, people out of work, industries disappearing. Now, this isn't really something new. It's happened at different times in history. But when you're living through it, it's really quite a challenge. And in this book, there are different topics, change, opportunity, unconditional love, reflection, etc. And yours was put under opportunity. And when you pulled this story out of your mental filing cabinet, The trigger about your ending up in Las Vegas, you start off your story saying you wondered why certain things happened to certain people and why their lives turned out the way they did. How does that question affect you today?
Well, I'm a very, very firm believer in our thoughts are what we actually create around us. And so I've learned how to adjust my thought process and how I choose in order to create the reality that I live around. In the younger days, when I didn't have that type of information available to me, I kind of lived sort of like a victim. I sometimes had lucky things happen to me, but it was more unluckier things. So I've learned over the years on how to adjust my thinking. And that is kind of where it lands me today. So if that's a little bit of an answer for you, I've studied Law of Attraction, of course. I study Course in Miracles. Many, many years I've been a student of that. And I listen to Deepak Chopra's DVDs, CDs, his books. I listen to Joe Vitale, Michael Logier. I'm just a sponge on trying to find people that have, they're on a thought process. Dr. Hugh Lin, I'm going to mispronounce Ho'oponopono. Okay. All of those people. Try to say that fast three times. I'm just intrigued and inspired by so many people that have so much to share, and I try to implement that into my life today, and it makes a total difference than considering yourself as a victim.
No, I think that when we can have that kind of a shift, mm-hmm. it's very significant. And I don't know, and I've said this to my audience many times, I don't know of anyone who would be considered a successful person that hasn't gone through the dark night of the soul on one level or another. And speaking of that, that's part of your story in this chapter that you wrote. And your mother, talk about your mother, because she had some pretty dark spots in her space. And the story starts with her, and that I found extremely interesting.
Mm-hmm. I did not know the real story until I was in my mid-30s when I confronted her. Mm-hmm. And it was over a telephone. She was in Iowa. I was in Las Vegas. I had done a series of self-awareness seminars, intense self-awareness seminars that went on for almost 9 months, these types of seminars.
Oh,
and
my.
It gave me enough strength to call her and say, you haven't been telling me the whole truth. Tell me your truth. And with that, I was hoping I could release her of some of her guilt and her fears. And I wasn't prepared for the stories that she shared that day, and I would never, she has now since left this earth, so it's not my place to tell her story, but the story she shared with me that day was a total healing for both of us. And in her mind, she thought not telling the truth was saving me. And mm-hmm. what actually was happening when she finally told the truth, that's what really saved me. And released all of the anger, all of the unknowing, all of the questions that I had on why are you like who you are? How did it come to this? And it goes back deeper than how I was conceived. She had been a dark life almost her entire life from childhood on. So mm-hmm. it's a deeper story than what I'm telling there for my mother. But she just didn't quite, we are day and night. mm-hmm. She just didn't have the opportunities that I had to understand that there's other choices you can make in life. And that's kind of where it comes from. So,
well, for the audience, you said your mother was 16 years old when she gave birth to you, and she was the victim of a multiple rape.
Yeah.
And she chose to have you. She chose that instead of having an abortion, which in her generation was quite a courageous thing to do. I still think it's a courageous thing to do even for someone today, because that is an experience that stays with you, period. And
yes.
like you said, your mother did not have the understanding that there were options that she could utilize to work through this experience. And your mom got married, mm-hmm. and you went between your mom's home and your grandparents' home, and for you to find out this kind of a truth as a mature adult, like you said, it was probably a pretty big shock for you. But with this, if we have someone in the audience who is saying, my goodness, I've had an experience like this in my life, what is it? I've always felt like something wasn't right, something wrong. What would you tell someone like that? Because you had to reach a point of self-awareness where you wanted to find out about you
mm-hmm.
to get clarity.
Mm-hmm.
So you had to talk to her. What would you tell someone in my audience?
Well, I would say if you can confront the person, if they're still in this realm,
mm-hmm.
ask them questions, but ask them in a very non-threatening way. There is no blame or guilt or attached. We just want the truth. We want the
mm-hmm.
truth to be revealed. And in a sense, then both parties can heal over this
mm-hmm.
this conversation. You have to come at a point in your life when you're ready to hear it yourself and the other party is ready to tell you the story. Sometimes the stories never get told. And it's just that we happen to be at a time in our life where she was ready to tell me the story. And the story itself about the rape was not the real story behind how she got to that point. There was a much even more powerful story that happened to her prior to the rape, and that was the part that unnerved me. I didn't see that coming, and
mm-hmm.
that is what I've carried with me, and I hope was able to relieve her from before she departed, that she didn't carry that with her anymore, that she
mm-hmm.
had been released of that. So it is just my mother was she did a lot. I mean, she was a person that had tremendous obstacles, and she still was a very happy soul. And as an example, the last night of her life, she went out dancing with a friend. She was out of state. She was at a friend's house. She fell asleep on the couch, never woke up. So I always said, geez, she picked that right. At least you went out dancing.
Yes. Oh, I think that's terrific. That's absolutely awesome.
And in your sleep to boot. So if I have to inherit anything from my mother, I hope it's that.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you really had big dreams as a person
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
you graduated high school. I think most people can identify with that. What were the big dreams that you were looking at? What was it that you wanted to do more than anything else?
Well, in those days, it was I'm still struggling with that to this very day. Design was a very strong desire of mine to get into, and music was my it's been a calling of mine for many, many years. And I chose one or the other because you have to make a choice at some
mm-hmm.
point on how
mm-hmm.
what you're going to pursue in school anyway. And I chose design. And little did I know that it would take me oh so many years to go back to that. But apparently it was a true strong desire of mine to continue to strive for that as a young adult. I still have my design. It's not a design business. People start getting me to say this now. I sell to designers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a multi-line rep, and I have products that I encourage people to buy through architects, interior designers, and hotels. And I have been very blessed with a wonderful business here in Las Vegas for over 23 years. It's the economy that shifted us all.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made me have some time on my hands to pursue things like my music, now the book, and a series of seminars I call Possibilities, which I've been teaching now going on 1.5, 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So that has really relieved me of some of the time, but my concern is when the other starts to get busy again, I will have implemented all this. So I'm learning how to balance, and that's quite the challenge for me, all of the balancing going on. So far,
so here
so
you are, yeah, as an artist,
yes.
You are a person that obviously needs to be in that environment, and of course you've developed your business skills through the years.
Mm-hmm.
When you wrote the afterthoughts here in the book Life Choices, you said things don't always work out the way we plan.
Mm-hmm.
And you then talk about your grandfather, and of course you had a very special relationship with your grandparents because they raised you along with your mother. But tell us about your granddad.
Oh my, what could you say about my grandfather? He was probably a very strong influence, including my own father. I don't want to discount him, but my grandfather was probably my strongest influence when it came to being determined that I was going to succeed. He was one of those kind, because how he was taught, that
mm-hmm.
he thought reverse psychology worked. He was a very strong German descent man, non-emotional, very just dyed in the wool of that typical, almost, my grandmother's name was Edith. His name really should have been Archie, but it was Herman. So I really think they cloned that show, The Bunkers, out of my grandparents for her to even be Edith.
Heavens.
Yes, and when he would whistle, she would get up and change the channel on the TV before remote control was popular. And my grandmother was remote control. So it was a very distinctly different relationship between the two of them and how I perceive them. So I was very afraid of my grandfather for many years until I saw through him. And that happened as I became an older teen, saying, oh, he's all talk and no action. He never once struck me. He never once raised his voice at me. You could look at me cross-eyed and I would shrivel
mm-hmm.
because it didn't take much to get me to behave myself. And so he was just a very strong-willed and opinionated man. And with that, he would always say, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I was, of course, the opposite, because now I think I need to prove this. So, of course, I was National Honor Society, never missed a day of school, did two jobs after school in order to get my goal, because he said, oh, you're never going to be able to. Well, yeah, he knew that. But yet, if you heard mm-hmm. him speaking to people when I wasn't in the room, I would, be the rave of the moment. So I said, I see through this guy. But at the point, I was already motivated enough on my own to know that, there's no coincidence I'm a type A personality. So
mm-hmm.
so that's, I loved both my grandparents dearly. My grandmother was one of my best friends, and I miss her to this day. I miss all of my family, actually. But and my father, I'm fortunate enough to still have him on this earth plane. He's one
mm-hmm.
of my few that are left, and we have a good relationship. We email back and forth, and he remarried many years ago, and has a family of his own, and they're all raised, and so we have a very dear friendship too. But he was the total opposite of my grandfather, and so I had both of those father figures to play off of, and both of them dear men, but in total different personality aspects.
Now, when you finished, when your granddad passed away,
mm-hmm.
that was an inspiration for you to go on to Indiana University in Gary, Indiana. Of course,
yeah.
It always brings up the movie The Music Man, because there's the song, about Gary, Indiana, and all of that there. But you had really wanted to come out to the West Coast, but you went there, went to school at night, you worked to put yourself through school,
mm-hmm.
and what made you decide that Vegas was where you wanted to go?
Well, many years earlier than that, my friend Kathy, which I mentioned in the book, her mother, myself, and I would come out here to see Elvis in the summer times when we were about 14, 15, 16 years old. We would come out in her convertible T-Bird, about 1966-year-old T-Bird, and we would drive through the desert relentlessly and to come and see Elvis perform at the Hilton Hotel in those days. And
mm-hmm.
we got used to Las Vegas, Kathy and I, and we would come, and we did about 2 or 3 years in a row coming out to Vegas. So we were used to it. We knew the city enough to feel comfortable in it, and we thought that would be like a springboard to go on to L.A. after that. And as the story goes, one thing leads to another, and I end up just staying in Las Vegas. So it just was meant to be, I guess, and I'm still here. And I shake my head sometimes when I go by on the street that I first had my apartment and think, oh, my gosh, 33 years ago, and I'm still here in Las Vegas. It's an amazing thing to think about. So
it really is, and it's quite an incredible city. And you said your first address there was the Dream World Apartments on Paradise Road. Now, I mean, that is just amazing. Dream World Apartments, Paradise Rose in Las Vegas, Nevada.
You can only imagine what my Midwestern family thought I had fallen into. I mean, you can only
Sin City, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that they know about. I mean, they still use that term. It's
mm-hmm.
interesting because Las Vegas today is a city that is so diverse, and it is, in many respects, so much more what I'd call family-oriented than it was years and years ago.
Yes.
But the term Sin City still is bandied around, but nobody really likes to use that very often anymore.
No.
It's like the costume doesn't fit now.
No, and I'm glad it doesn't, because I never ever considered this city what tourists think it is. And there's a very, very genuine family type atmosphere here. I have some very dear friends that were actually born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different once you leave the Strip. And for many years, I worked in hospitality, and I would take reservations for a particular hotel in town, and people would say, well, where do you live? And we go, Las Vegas. And they thought we honestly flew in every day and lived in L.A. or something. You know, they really didn't think people lived in Las Vegas. And so it's been a learning curve for a lot of people, but I consider it home, always have, and probably always will for as long as I can. But even though we've had the high times here, and we have had our low, and mm-hmm. we are coming out of the low, I know this city too well. It's got too much creative power in it to sit in idle this long. I just mm-hmm. think we'll be coming out of the storm very, very soon.
Well, I think so. I think that's going to be happening on multiple levels, and it'll take that creativeness on the part of people,
mm-hmm.
the ingenuity, the resourcefulness of what I consider the American soul to really bring things back in its right way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here you are. You have put out a new CD, which is titled As Promised. Let's talk about your music. You decided you were going to do the CD. Now, many times when people are in their mature years, the last thing they're going to think of doing is going out and singing, for heaven's sake. They're going to feel like they sound like a frog or something similar. And they're going to say, nah, that's not for me. But you discovered that your voice was still very nice, and your music is lovely.
Oh, thank
it is absolutely lovely. And, the CD is called As Promised. Now, where did you get the music from? Did you write the music yourself? Did you do the lyrics? Tell us about how you put this together, because this was a primary passion when you were growing up over everything, and here you are as a mature woman finally getting into it because of seeming circumstances that are considered not so positive, but yet you've made them positive.
Well, for many, many years, that guitar sat in the closet all by itself, and it stayed there for almost 15 years. And I started going to a church here in town called A Place for Miracles, actually before it was even there, a different place
mm-hmm.
that they moved into. And they were doing a ministerial class and teaching people how to become a minister based on the philosophy of Course in Miracles. And I said, you know, if I really want to learn this process, that would probably be the best avenue. Not that I wanted to be a minister, kind of like not that I wanted to be an author, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I thought, you got to try things, you know, to see where you belong. And so I signed up for the ministerial classes, and I'm still doing my regular career job, and I got incredibly, incredibly busy suddenly on my normal lifestyle. And I felt very confused on what I was supposed to be doing. And I said, now, Jesus, if you wanted me in these ministerial classes, you know, why did I think I was supposed to be going? And what is it I'm supposed to be doing? And we were supposed to do a presentation that day in class, and I kept hearing this word, just sing. Just sing. And I'm going, what? You know, I'm talking to myself in the car. What? And I could not get out of my head the old song, Both Sides Now. And so I got to the church, and I did my little presentation, and I said, if I'm true to myself and this voice inside my head, I said, I have to ask you to please let me indulge and do this little song for you. And I said, but I'm so fearful of singing in front of people. Would you mind closing your eyes? I'll sing it, get it over with, and we'll be done. Well, after I sang this a cappella song into this little circle of ministers, or soon-to-be ministers, when they opened their eyes, some of them were crying, and I'm going, oh, I think I'm beginning to see. And so when I opened myself up to that option, I dropped out. I called myself a ministerial dropout. I dropped out of the school, and I started pursuing writing music. During that same time frame, my grandmother was diagnosed with a breast cancer again. It had come back. And this time in grand form, it had metastasized. It was all over her. And she was in the stages of passing. It took 3 years before that incident actually finished. And I had a lot of stuff that just came out of me. I would be driving down the freeway and a song would come, and I'm trying to write while I'm driving, and I would never change the lyrics. It just came clean, clear, and I never changed the lyrics. And then I would hear music in my mind, and it's kind of sounded like I'm a little bit of a schizophrenic.
That's okay.
But I'm not. And I would hear the music, and then I would play it on the guitar, and I would then perform them at church. And people would ask me over the years, would you please put this to CD or tape? And I go, No, it's a little crazy, you know, who's going to buy this music, you know? And so it's such a, you know, a genre that, A Course in Miracles, if most people don't even know that who that is, unless they know Marianne Williamson, you know. And so it's an interesting thing. So I finally surrendered to it over 10 years later, and I went in and went through a studio and got it all taken care of through another situation where I had it all done, but we couldn't mix it, so we had to do it all over again with a different person. So obviously it was, you know, something I was supposed to do. So the person that helped me with it, his name is T-Bone Denman. He has a studio here in town called Sun Song Productions. He's a wonderfully delightful soul, and he takes so much credit for that CD, because that was all about his wonderful way of mixing and producing the music, and he plays guitar for me behind it. It was just a joy to work with him through the whole thing. So,
well, it's very lovely. It is absolutely lovely. And the themes are spiritual themes, and I really think that your cover on it is delightful. It reminds me of areas near Monterey, California, and some other places. Just beautiful, beautiful mountain scene on the front. But you have also got these seminars, Possibilities, that you put on. Tell us a little bit about that and the time we've got left.
Here comes that split personality again, right? Well, the seminar stemmed out of, I'll be quick about that, out of my clients being displaced or losing their jobs. And I was having lunch with a friend of mine who's also an architect here in town, and I was saying how I felt unscathed by some of the, you know, the severe depression that some of these people are in and their situations. And I said, I've learned this learning modalities that I can keep myself away from that. He goes, well, why don't you teach it? I go, nah. And so it took a few months for me to be convinced. And then I, again, kind of like the music, the Possibilities seminars came to life. They've been fairly well received. I'm just learning better and better how to market to people that I don't know, if I want to continue the momentum. And that's pretty much how they go. It's the series is based on communication, slight neurolinguistic programming, law of attraction, but done with actual concepts that you can take out of the class and actually put to use, instead of just having a vague idea of how to use it. And lastly, of course, if you're going to go into that realm, you need to let them know how to ground and get questions answered for themselves, and that's through meditation, of course. So I align them with the chakras, do a drumming meditation, and send them on their merry way.
Well, Anne, you have accomplished quite a bit. The book, Life Choices, Putting the Pieces Together. You and other people have told your stories in here. It's been a delight having you on the air. Now, let's have your website so that people can investigate either your seminars, find out about your music, and other things.
Okay. The first one is a little bit complicated, is www.possibilitiestheseminar.com. And the second one is the same W's, Forgotten Song Productions, plural, .com. And the Forgotten Song one will take you to the website that will be about the CD, and the Possibilities will take you pretty much to everything else that I do.
Okay.
And that will do it. And I have to say, even though I just now lost her note, Judy, the wonderful publisher of the Life Choices section, is bringing out yet a third book, and it's kind of like my story. It's called Pursuing Your Passions, and she's hoping to have that anthology out by the spring. So there's another exciting book to look forward to. Who knows?
Oh,
maybe I'll have a story about that before it's over.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible.
It's such a delight having you as a guest. Thank you for coming and joining me for this half hour of sharing your personal story. Again, the book is Life Choices, Putting the Pieces Together. My guest has been Ann Parenti. Check out the possibilities, theseminar.com, possibilitiestheseminar.com, and ForgottenSongProductions.com. Ann's a good example of how sometimes your dreams wait a while, and then bingo, there they are, to your amazement, manifesting in ways you never would have expected. Continued success to you, Ann Parenti. And again, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you, Donna. And what a lovely surprise for the day. I'm always open to new opportunities.
Absolutely.
Right. It's
enjoy
a joy to talk
data.
To you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. And when we come back, more good things to share with you. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. When our guest that we had scheduled today, Histories, Mysteries, the author, Brian, he is going to be on with us, but things come up with people, and he's, like I said, on a plane to Greece. So for those of you that were looking forward to that, I'm sorry we had to disappoint you, and I hope that you enjoyed Anne, because she is just a doll. And all of us have our own little stories, and I think when we can share our stories and realize that there is this phenomenal experience maybe that we have to go through so that we wake up to our own realities. And when I met Anne in Las Vegas, I was, as I do with so many of the authors and singers and performers that send stuff to me, it takes me a while to go through the material. And as it turned out, with a cancellation, I was able to bring her on sooner than what I had anticipated. So I'm just very, very pleased that she was able to be with us. One of the things I wanted to share with you out of the book is that in this book, Life Choices, there is this delightful story about a king and a wise man, and I thought I would share it with you. There was a king, and he resented an old, old sage because people of his kingdom respected this wise man so very, very much and were always seeking him out for advice. Many, many a night, the king would sit up trying to think of some way to discredit this wise man and embarrass him in front of his people. Then he came up with a scheme. The king one day summoned all his followers and sent for the wise men. When the wise men arrived, the king said, "O wisest of all men, tell me this. I have cupped in my hands the tiniest of birds. I command you to tell me, is he alive or is he dead?" The wise old sage saw through the king's demeanor and what he was trying to do. He realized quickly that if he said alive, with one quick squeeze, the king would snuff out the bird's life. If the sage said dead, the king would simply open his hands and release the bird. Either answer would discredit the wise man. So he said nothing. He stood silent, thinking. The king became very, very impatient, because not a word had escaped the lips of the wise old sage. "Well," he said to the sage, "is he alive or is he dead?" The wise old sage replied slowly, "As you choose, Your Majesty, as you choose." Well, as you have already figured out, the moral of the story is simple. Life is as you choose. The ability to control your experiences and have them result in happiness, prosperity, and success lies in your own mind and in the choices you make. Have courage. Choose wisely. I liked the story because I think that so many times when we go through life's experiences, dependent on what we have lived, we may or may not be aware of options that are available to us. One of the things that I have learned, and I don't always do it as effectively as I should, but I speak of it because I need to remind myself to do this. When you get into a positioning where you honestly can't tell whether you're to turn right or left, why not remember the wise old sage and stay quiet for a while? Maybe do some meditation or take a long walk. Don't worry about the weather. Just bundle up if it's cold and brisk and just move. There is a man whose material I've been going through. He said, "We'll never leave our footsteps in the sands of time by sitting on our backsides." Eric Shapira is the name of the man that said that. And that really impressed me because that's true. We can go through all kinds of agitation, all kinds of frustration, all kinds of emotional, imaginational components in our thinking, and just feel like we are not even on a hamster's wheel. We're just sort of like spinning like a whirly dervish in our minds, and we don't go anywhere. And we just come to a halt, becoming totally ineffective. So it's a good thing sometimes just to ask for help. Sometimes sitting down and just writing a letter to the universe, whatever you're comfortable doing, write a letter to the universe expressing your frustrations, your anxieties, and if you want to use a few colorful words in there, it's your writing. Nobody cares. It's between you and the universe. That's all. And then what you do after you've done it, then take time maybe just to burn it. Just burn it up. Because what you've done is release, give yourself a release. That is very, very helpful. It really does make a difference. And sometimes, don't you have these moments when you really, really, really just want to get something out of you? You just have to do it in a way that is comfortable for you, does no harm to you or to anyone else. And writing is a great way to do it. Sometimes people like to paint. Other times people like to run. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you can do. One woman I know, whenever she got herself into such a dither, she had this huge box in her garage. And when Cherie told me about this, I just laughed, but by golly, it worked for her. And she had accumulated all kinds of pieces of glass she'd save. And she'd climb up on a ladder. And if she was, her biggest challenge was anger. She'd get so angry she just couldn't think straight. So she'd go out and she'd go and smash. She'd stand up on this tall ladder and she would throw this glass into the box. And she was just so mad. She'd just be throwing this glass in. And of course, you know, it just shattered into a million pieces. But this was a big box and a deep box. And what happened with that is that it got to be known with her kids. That's it. We don't bother Mom when she's out there in the garage doing her thing. We know she's upset. And one day, a friend of one of the kids came over, and they hear all this commotion out in the garage, and it's crashing, banging, and all this commotion. And the kid said, "What in the world is going out to your garage?" The kid said, "That's Mom. You leave her alone. This is what she's doing." So we just leave her alone. And Cherie said after she finished, she just said, "Well, okay, that took care of that." But she said for her, that is how she managed to handle it. And she said as the years went by, I found different ways of doing it. But there was something about throwing things for her. And she said it just allowed her to release her energy. And she said then it wasn't put in the wrong place in the wrong way. So all of us have our ways of dealing with what we need to deal with in life. And nobody's going to be exempt from those moments. No one. No one. It is just, it's a part of life. So it's how you're going to deal with it that makes a difference. And there is that choice. There always is a choice. And you have to consciously be present and don't accept the attitude of a victim. You're not a victim here. You're a participant in life. And there's the other side, as a student of life, and believe me, you're still here, you still got some lessons you're going to be learning. I like what the fellow that wrote Illusions, he said, if you're still here, you haven't finished your job. And those are my words. Your job is not finished. You're still here finishing up something that you came here to do. So take joy in that. Realize that life is a very special gift for you, and you're going to be able to take that gift and work it maybe into something so unique and marvelously different, just like Anne Parente did. You're going to be able maybe to pull something out of your file cabinet of skills and expertise and be able to bring it to life in a way that maybe you would never have dreamed possible. If Anne can do it, I think just about anybody can, because that is the way life is. Now, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Then let me tell you what I perceive, and then after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that crosses your mind. Oh, and by the way, if you have had a paranormal experience of any kind, an experience that totally transformed your life, your thinking, your attitudes, I'd love to hear from you. And I want to thank those of you who are sending me your stories, because I'm wanting to collect 100 stories. 100 stories. And your stories, if they've not been heard, I'd love to be in a position to bring those stories forward. And just send them to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Okay, we're going to be taking a break in just a moment. When we come back, I'm going to be sharing a story with you about someone that had a very, very powerful dream experience that I think could, well, happen to anybody. Things like this have happened to me. Also, we're going to be talking about special things that people have done, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So, keep in mind, you can always give me a buzz. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight at 888-815-9756. We're going to be right back.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass.
In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. I would, if you like, give me a call at 888-815-9756. Now, tomorrow, we're going to be talking with a woman who has lived an experience I think is just incredibly awesome on one hand, and on the other hand, really eye-opening and makes you aware that you have to be thoughtful about who you choose to keep company with. Connie Joy is going to be my guest. We're going to be talking about tragedy in Sedona. Now, this is her real-life experience with a man who, my goodness, he's just known because he was interviewed and was in the very popular series, The Secret. His name is James Arthur Ray. And we're going to be finding out firsthand about this man, the organization he built, the things that were done, and her association. Her book, Tragedy in Sedona, is just absolutely an illuminating publication. So she's going to be on with me tomorrow. And then also we're going to be talking with Greg Corbin, who is a physician. And his book is called Beyond Reason, and this is about his 9-year-old son who passed away just prior to his 10th birthday. The story is heartwarming. It is just wonderful, and I'm really looking forward to having Greg on as a guest. So we've got a wonderful lineup. Don't forget, you can always find out about the upcoming guests by checking in right here at bbsradio.com and finding out a little bit of a write-up that's about each and every person coming up. Okay, I was going to tell you about a dream experience. Terry Bradbury, she's out of New York. She said this dream experience that she had really was very, very unsettling. In fact, when she came out of it, when she awakened from it, she couldn't get her bearings for a while because the dream had been so very, very vivid. And she said, wow, this is more a nightmare than a dream. It seemed so very, very real. And she said that when she got up and was thinking about the dream experience, because it wouldn't leave her, she wondered that maybe this was happening to her, this dream experience was happening, because she had had such a frantic pace. She said her husband was having health problems, 3 kids. All of them were teenagers. There was so much going on with them that she hardly had any breathing time. She worked as a hospice social worker. Very, very demanding positioning. And emotionally, she was drained all the time. And she said whether she was dealing with the kids, with her husband's health problems, or with her hospice work, she didn't feel like she had much time for anything other than cleaning house and doing the basic things that we have to do to keep life on course. She said she was so frenzied, she was wondering if maybe that was one of the things that was behind the dream experience. So she calmed herself down, and then she said, I decided I was going to go back to sleep. And then she did exactly that, because she still was very, very upset with the dream. Well, it was a week later when she was on her way to work to meet with a family that she was working with regarding hospice for one of their family members. She said she took a familiar turn onto a particular route in an area of New York and was going north. She said hers was the only vehicle on the road until she noticed a paneled pickup truck that was in the distance that was coming her way. And she said as the truck was coming closer and closer, everything in her body was on high alert. She said, I was getting chills running up and down my spine. I had driven this road more times than I could count, but everything about what I was doing seemed so familiar. A deja vu moment? Well, it came back to her. She realized that this had been in her dream. She said the closer the pickup truck got, the more anxious she got, and she said she found herself gripping her steering wheel and focusing on controlling the van, and she started moving over onto the right side of the road towards the right shoulder that was there. She said, I've got to get away from this truck. And at the same time, her logical mind was saying to her, this is silly. This is silly. The guy's not doing anything wrong. Well, she was watching this truck. And then she started looking at the back of this truck, of the pickup. She saw tall bales of hay that were stacked quite high. The truck hit a bump, and all of these hay bales shifted. Two of them tumbled off the top of the truck and hit the asphalt, landing right where her van would have been if she hadn't followed her instincts and moved to the side of the road. She said it was exactly what she had had the dream about a week earlier. Fascinating stuff. Absolutely fascinating stuff. Good people doing good things? Absolutely. There are really some times when we just need to remember that thoughtful kindness can go a long way. There was a woman, Cindy Bates, out of Forest Grove, Oregon, who absolutely found herself in a panic. She noticed that her wallet was missing. She had all of her credit cards inside of her wallet, cash, and she said, I have no idea what happened to it. I am just absolutely in a panic. She said, days later, there was a knock on her front door out of the blue, and this stranger was standing there, a woman, and she said to Cindy, I want you to know I found this, and I knew you must be worried. Well, Cindy was stunned. She said, I would never have expected that to happen. All of her money was in the wallet, all of her credit cards, and she said she was so relieved she offered the woman a reward, but the stranger wouldn't take a penny. She said, I want you to know that whoever you are, I didn't even get your name, I want to thank you. You restored my faith in human kindness. Thoughtfulness. The action of one person can create a ripple effect that can make a big difference. And you have the chance to do that yourself. I know we're just about out of time, and I want to thank you for being with me today. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't forget, you do have choice. And it's good to know that you have choice. Where are you going to put your mind? What kind of actions are you going to be supportive of? And where are you putting that faith that is your natural gift, your natural endowment? Remember always that you're the one that'll make the light shine. You're the one that's going to make a difference in this world, because you're totally unique and very, very special. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous day. Again, remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Be back here same time, same place tomorrow Look forward to chatting with you then about this experience in Sedona, Arizona. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.